assume everyone can hear me, correct?
Yes.
All right, I got up out of bed last night and wrote a different introduction. And Frank said, what are you doing? I said, I got something on my mind I need to get. And so I got back in the bed and wrote a different introduction for this lesson. And so we're gonna have like two introductions, okay? All right. Today we are studying one of the most familiar and beloved scriptures from the Bible, the Nativity story from Luke chapter 2. Some of you attended Pastor's recent Bible study where we learned that translations from Hebrew to Latin to Greek to English and to other languages by multiple translators and transcribers can lead to some interesting wording. Some of you know what I'm talking about there that attended that class. Also, well-meaning earthly traditions have developed around the Nativity, which may not be present in the Word. Historically, it would be hard to conceive of an inn in Bethlehem, a town so small that it doesn't even show up on any ancient map. That would be like having an inn out in the middle of rural South Carolina on a dirt road. There is no mention of an angry innkeeper in the story. Hospitality was paramount in Jewish culture, and it is very likely that to a fellow Jew would never have denied lodging to another Jew visiting his ancestral home. Although the upper room or guest room was filled because of the census, Mary and Joseph were given lodging in the lower part of the house, kind of like a garage area, perhaps a cave stable where the animals would have given off the heat of their bodies for comfort, but also their smells. Finally, the manger in which Jesus lay was most likely a feeding trough, maybe built in the floor of the cave. This was the makeshift crib of our Savior. The main point is that Luke and other gospel writers resisted the temptation of making the physical location of Jesus' birth better than it really was. The Jewish Messiah, the King of the Jews, the Savior of the world, was born not in a palace, but in the dirt and grime of everyday life. The second person of the Trinity took on human nature and came to save sinners. All right, now, let's look at the introduction for our lesson today, Jesus is Born. Only the mind of God can conceive of introducing the Savior to all mankind as a baby. It was certainly not how anyone expected the promised Messiah to make his grand entrance. Jesus humbly entered the world to save his people from their sins. A mystery? Yes. A miracle? Yes. An impossibility? No. But as Christians, we believe that anything is possible with God. We heard some of that in the lesson today, in the pastor today, and it was exactly what we had studied last week in here. And I think that the Lord really wants the people coming to this class to know this lesson because it was very directly in line with what we talked about in here last week. All right, let's turn in our Bibles to Luke 2, 1 through 25. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, in cloths, and placed him in a manger, because there was no room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in the manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. All right, that is one of, is that one of your favorite scriptures as well? You know, you almost know it by heart in the different translations there are of it, the different Bibles that we have. All right, although born in this world, the Son of God found no place here. The world makes no room for that which is of God. The world attempted to push him away. Jesus' earthly walk began in a what? What goes there? In a manger, okay, right? And ended, at least in the eyes of the world, on the cross. Throughout his earthly journey, did Jesus ever have a place to lay his head? Explain. No. Yeah. All right, let's have a, let's start here. We'll get a couple of comments on this side, okay?
Yeah. Jesus never really had a home. He was a traveler, and he brought the word of God to everybody, so he never really needed a place to stay for more than, you know, a night. So yeah. In order to go to everybody, he moved around.
Well, he was sleeping in the boat.
Sandy.
Well, and if they were in the boat.
Yes.
I don't need a bike, most likely, but I have to disagree a little bit. He did have a home life. He didn't start teaching even in the temple till he was 12 years old.
I think that I'm asking the question. I understand what you were saying, but what I am saying maybe is not a physical place to lay his head. I'm thinking more of, did he ever have the acceptance that he deserved?
In that case, my answer would be no.
No. See, there's laying your head like this, and then there's being given respect and peace that you deserve.
But I think
there's
not really.
Hold on a second.
Let him come to you.
Let him come to you. So if everybody can raise their hands before they talk, then I'll be able to come to you, and we can get you on the live stream.
Okay.
I think the establishment was worried about him. A lot of people were following him. And that's why they came after him to stop that ministry. So it's not like he wasn't popular among the people, the ordinary people. The establishment was worried about their positions, and that's why they went after him.
But unfortunately, the ordinary people were responsible for him being on the cross as well. When the story plays out to the end, you know, they turned on him. But just keep thinking about that, okay? Maybe you have ideas about this as we go through. I admit that this is a little bit different angle to this than what you probably heard before. Okay. Now, Donna Pyle, she's a works with a missionary group that's with the Missouri Synod Lutheran Church. And she is, finally, I found something that I don't have to kill myself trying to make a lesson on. You know, she has some very, very, very good books and things that she has written. And I encourage you to, and they're not just woman-centered like some religious literature is. They're for everybody. But I read her whole section on this before I started getting down to write the lesson. And this is one interesting thing that she said. Donna Pyle says, but if sin placed him there, grace also placed him there. Now we're talking about being born in the humble manger or even on the cross. Okay, but if sin placed him there, grace also placed him there. All right, talk briefly to your table partners and let's see what you think about that.
I think what she's saying is that sin placed him in the manger, meaning here, then grace also placed
him. There's a lesson on that table right now.
Because of God's love.
Now remember, if you're listening to this at home, that you can be thinking about this question while we're talking.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Do we have any ideas on this side that anybody wants to share? Raise your hand if you want to share. How about in the middle? Anybody want to share? There we go, Gloria.
But anyway, I think the sin that placed him there was our sins. He did not sin.
Right.
So that's what I think. But I don't understand. I'm not understanding much about the grace also placed him there.
All right.
Well, it was necessary that he should die so that the sins of the world could be atoned for.
Right. Okay. Any comments on this part of the class? All right. Jesus in the manger. Now we're talking of today. We're focusing at this point, like on the manger. But Jesus in the manger epitomizes God's grace towards mankind, which is what he just said. Okay. Sin placed him there because he had to come to what? To save us from our sin. But grace placed him there because God was going to share that grace with us of salvation through the birth of this baby in this miserable little place, kind of, especially to us. Okay, does that help you any? Does that help you any? All right, now sin placed him there because we had to have a Savior, right? Okay. Now, grace placed him there because God's great, God, you know, omnipotent God, chose to do this so he could give us his grace, his ultimate grace. Now, clearer?
Clearer.
Okay. Well, think about it. Right? You can think about that. Okay. Call me if you need to.
Okay.
All right. We talk sometimes about these lessons on the phone. All right. Number four. Mary wrapped the babe in swaddling clothes. I used to just love that part when I was little. And now you're talking about swaddling a baby. But I don't know whether that's a new thing or whatever. But when I was little, I don't remember anybody except Jesus being swaddled. I was interested in that. So let's go to Ezekiel 16:4, and let's see what Mary was doing. All right, has anybody found that? don't know how many pounds, but don't you? Go and read it.
And as for your birth, on the day you were born, your cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water to cleanse you, nor rubbed with salt, nor wrapped in swaddling clothes.
All right. To understand the cultural practice, now what did they say? Have you got it in your Bibles? Now what happened? And what did they say they did in Ezekiel when the baby was born? They washed it, right? And then possibly cleaned it with what? Salt and oil. That's how the Romans cleaned themselves. They would rather more than with the water, that they actually would be cleaned with olive oil. And it's scraped off. And so she is following the cultural practice of what a mother would do for the baby. All right, now what did Mary do according to our scripture? She wrapped him in swaddling clothes. She probably rubbed him with salt and possibly with olive oil and then wrapped him up so he would be warm and clean. What does this swaddling tell us about Mary? She was what now? She was a good, loving mother, and she knew what to do, right? She knew how to take care of the baby and was obviously showing that she was wanting to do the right thing. What did Jesus do? Now, this is kind of a strange question, but in the first days of his life, and I don't want to hear he didn't cry and that he nursed, okay? Think a little bit further than that, okay? You know how I feel about that didn't cry stuff, but anyway. All right, what did he do in the first days of his life? He welcomed what? Strangers to the manger. Remember, baby or not, he is God, fully God. Okay? Whom did Jesus welcome first?
The shepherds.
Good shepherds, right? Highfalutin society, not. No. What do you know about shepherds at the time? I've heard so many sermons and Bible studies and stuff on the shepherds. All right, right about in here in the middle, does anybody know anything that you can tell us about the shepherds at that time? Go ahead, Daniel.
Being a shepherd was probably the lowest job you could have in society. They were considered filthy, smelly, dirty. That's not a job people strive to go do. And for them to be the first to come, I think kind of shows how Jesus' coming was all-encompassing for everyone. So it...
Very good. All right. Good.
In view of the one thing, it seems sort of ironic in view of the ancient history of the Jewish people that shepherds were considered so lowly, because Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and David, who were their greatest national heroes, were at one point all shepherds.
Right, which tells us something about God's way and man's way. Just like it's not a job you would aspire to. But who is the great shepherd?
Jesus.
We think of Jesus as one of our ways of thinking of him as a shepherd. Now, they were not esteemed by society. Most of society had cast them aside and relegated them to the outskirts. They were so disliked that they had to stay on the outskirts of town. You ain't getting going to town. Okay. However, it is these outcasts that God Almighty calls to bear witness to a miraculous story full of wonder. Look at verses 17 through 20 again. All right, in Luke 2, 17 through 20, will somebody read those again just to help us focus? Anybody found it?
And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child.
All right. Keep on to 20.
Oh, okay. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it has been told them.
All right. Another thing about shepherds is that they absolutely would defend those sheep to no matter what. They stayed with them. They were faithful caretakers of the sheep. And boy, everybody expected them to be too, you know. That's what they were expected to do. These smelly social outcasts decided to leave their flocks, travel to Bethlehem, and then praise God and share the good news to everyone they met as they returned to their fields. What was the response? Well, before we ask that question, first of all, it is amazing that they even left their what? Their flocks. But not only they leave their flocks, they're going to be gone a while because they had to travel to Bethlehem because they weren't allowed to come, you know, they weren't allowed to come into the town. Smelly, dirty, low. Okay. And then they saw the babe and they left, and what did they do? They went, excuse me for smelling what, I don't know how you, but listen, I have seen something so wonderful that I'm going to tell you because I have no choice but to do it. I'm so full of gratitude and the Spirit of God, what's happened to me. I don't care what you think of me, I'm going to tell you. And that was the power of the Holy Spirit working in them. And what was the response to the people? Did they automatically go like this? What did they do?
Well, they were amazed. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, think about it. Shepherds are out there tending their flocks, and all of a sudden here's angels and songs being sung about God being born. I mean, yeah, they were amazed, and they were telling everybody. They were going nuts about it. Right?
And do you see the word, the verb that's used in there, they, it starts with a W. The people that heard the shepherds, they wondered. They wondered. Why did the people that normally look down on the shepherds react this way? Why didn't they give them, you know, like they always did, just back off and ignore them? Why? What are they sharing?
I feel like they saw...
Wait a minute, honey.
I feel like they saw how significant it was that the shepherds even left their flocks, considering they would do anything and that was their living and career, and they just felt that was very significant and trustworthy.
So there's some shock value in it, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's some shock, you know, some curiosity involved in it. You know, what are they saying? They look like they really mean what they're saying. Dirty or not, I think I'm going to listen.
There was this huge star there first that, you know, that's curiosity.
Uh-huh.
You know, what is that star?
That's the glory of God.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot
which
of
you can see Monday if it's not cloudy, by the way, that the where this is going to be a convergence, and we'll see something that's similar to the star.
I think the star was something supernatural and not a convergence, but I think
I do too.
Hopefully if it's, or for I am, you can't see the southwest anyway.
Right. Right, exactly. But I think the significance of that is here we are in the middle of a troubled time. I mean, COVID is just going crazy. And they think that there's another strand of it coming up. And we have no, in the way I see it, that we have to go to God with this. because vaccines and everything else, we are going to need supernatural help in this fight. And that star up there, you know, scientific that it might be, I think that it's wonderful that that's there to remind us of the glory of God and to tell us that he's possible in doing all things, including saving us through this time. I think it's wonderful. If all it is a reminder, it's wonderful, right? Then God, and that's God that makes that. God makes the heavens work that way. I'm one of going out there to look.
I am
too. All right. Now, the shepherds were sharing, we call it, we are called to share the what? The good news. The good news about Jesus is contagious. Do you agree with that? It's contagious. The Holy Spirit is preparing in the people's hearts right from the beginning to accept Jesus as the Savior of the world. They haven't got just any news. And there might be a star up there and all that other stuff, but they have not filled, you know, connected the dots yet. But from right from the beginning, God is orchestrating and preparing doubtful hearts to receive the Savior. Does that make sense? Okay.